from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines on Softy and Dick Without Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Softy is an idiot.
We got the Sounders 3, LAFC 1 last night. That means they're moving on, baby, to the Western Conference Semis against FC Dallas Tuesday, 6:30, right here on KJR. Winner will face Minnesota, don't you know, or Sporting Kansas City in the Western Conference Finals. NFL news. Ravens-Pittsburgh game that was set for tomorrow moved to Sunday because of a COVID outbreak with the Ravens. That means just two games tomorrow on Thanksgiving, both right here on KJR. Houston at Detroit, 9:30. Washington, Dallas, 1:30. Again, both games here on the Mighty 950. Bengals have announced the quarterback Brandon Allen will start the game this weekend against the Giants in place of Joe Burrow, who's out for the year. College football, the Iron Bowl, is set for Saturday. Alabama-Auburn will not include Nick Saban, by the way. He has tested positive for COVID-19. The Oklahoma-West Virginia game also postponed after a COVID outbreak with Oklahoma. Air Force and Colorado State was also called off this weekend. And some sad news in soccer. Argentine legend Diego Maradona, captain of the 86 World Cup champion, passing away at the age of 60 years old. So I'm looking, by the way, at some numbers. I guess you can call them stats are for losers.
Stats are for losers.
For the Seahawk-Eagle game this weekend, Russell Wilson went under pressure, according to Pro Football Focus, has a passer rating of 92.3. Carson Wentz, when under pressure, has a passer rating of 49.1.
Stats are for losers.
For Philadelphia. So he's terrible. He's terrible all over the place, but he's even worse when he's under pressure. So let's go back to the Thursday night game against Arizona, which, my God, feels like it was 6 weeks ago now. And the pressure they were able to get on Kyler Murray, they had zero quarterback hits in the very first game. They had seven quarterback hits in the second game. If they can get pressure on Kyler Murray, they can get pressure on Carson Wentz. I realize that Carson Wentz obviously is a bigger guy. He's a decent runner, but he ain't no Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is the best running quarterback in the National Football League right now, and it's not even close. So if that pass rush that we saw against Carson Wentz, against Kyler Murray, shows up Jackson against Carson Wentz on Monday night in Philadelphia, this is going to be a laugher, dude. This is one of those games where I think all the old cliches that, hey, if you're for real, you'll win a game like that. If you're for real, you don't win a game against, lose a game against a 3-6-1 football team on Monday night in front of nobody. And you know what? I think it's right. I think it's totally right. I don't care if it's hyperbole, a cliche, nonsense, or whatever. Seahawks are for real. They're in a freaking race for the one seed, dude. They're in a race for the NFC West right now. They're in a race with New Orleans and the Rams and Green Bay. They can't be losing games to a 3-6-1 team in Week 11.
Not at all. I mean, you think back to Carson Wentz and the way he moves and stuff, and you think back to the game that we played in the playoffs there last year. He hasn't learned anything. He's not a better quarterback. He's a worse quarterback than he was then. Yeah, and if he tries to get outside the pocket, they'll do exactly what they do to Kyler Murray, which is to spy him and sack his ass behind the line of scrimmage multiple freaking times on Monday.
Multiple times, as in more than one. I'm looking at this roster for Philadelphia. I don't even know who these guys are.
This guy here.
Yeah.
Dead.
Cross him off.
I mean, it's insane. You know, Pete Carroll's got to be game planning going, who the hell is that guy? So, look, I've got a lot of confidence in the Seahawks on Monday. I think, and I hope I'm right, because if I'm wrong, people are going to kill me. They're going to say, Softy jinxed it. Way to go, pal, you freaking moron. You're an idiot, just like Florio said on the air with you last segment. But I think this. I really do. I think the Seahawks.
Softy is an idiot.
Thank you. I think whatever barf they had in their belly, whatever Russell Wilson had in his stomach, that little bug he had, I think he's puked it up. And I think that they were due for a couple of games in a row. They were due for a dip. They had their dip. They didn't play well. Russell Wilson was awful with 10 turnovers in four games. There's no question about that.
Hey, Seattle.
And I think they're back now. I mean, look, I don't know how else to say it. I think this defense survived the worst of times. I think getting this pass rush together with Carlos Dunlap and Snacks Harrison, getting Jamal Adams healthy, hopefully knock on wood, getting Shaquille Griffin healthy for the game on Monday night. I think these guys are about to play their best football they've played all year long. I really believe that, starting Monday in Philadelphia.
Even in the Super Bowl years of 13 and 14, there were always these little dips. There was the run at the end of 13 where you think, oh God, they lost to Arizona at home. Are they really a Super Bowl team?
Yes.
This team's little dip was what we just saw.
Right.
And now you get everybody healthy, Carson come, everybody's back, and you're out of the dip, and you're facing the easiest part of your schedule. You kill these teams. You go into the playoffs at 12-4 or 13-3, and you decimate everybody, and please stay healthy.
Five of your next six games are against teams that are 12-34 combined.
Yes!
So, I mean, look, I know coaches will say, you know, everybody matters any given Sunday, blah, blah, blah. You're facing five teams that are 12-34, okay? And the one game that you're playing that's against a legit team, you got them at home in Seattle against the Rams, where, again, the home field doesn't mean as much as it does, but it still means more than having to play on grass in Los Angeles or whatever the hell that surface is in that wacky stadium down there. So I just think that they have set themselves up with a 7-3 record and a run the rest of the way. Again, five of the teams they play down the road are terrible. They have set themselves up after their worst stretch of football all year long and still be tied in first place and still be 7-3 and be a game out behind the Saints right now for the one seed in the NFC. I think they're in a good spot. I really do. I mean, compare the Hawks schedule, by the way, to what the Rams have coming up. I mean, it's not even close. The Rams have the Niners. They got the Cardinals. They got the Patriots. They got the Hawks and the Cardinals again. Those are five of their final six games. Seahawks have five games against crap, and you could say the Niners are crap. The Niners are a better football team than what they've shown, but still, they play them one time. The Rams have that one game against the Jets, but that's about it, man. The Hawks, the Cardinals twice, the Niners and New England, those are not gimmies for the Rams in the final six games of the year. So I love where this football team is at, and I'll tell you what. Here's what else I love about the Seahawks. Russell Wilson is, for now, out of the MVP race. It's not even a conversation. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Florio's exactly right. Patrick Mahomes is the front runner, and there really is no debate about who the MVP right now is in the NFL.
Softy is an idiot.
And I just think that's going to be a good thing for Russell Wilson, right? I mean, he was even talking about winning the MVP. Like, what the hell, man? That's not something that Russell Wilson talks about. Where'd that come from? Russell Wilson was even maybe saying that because he knew how bad the defense was. Well, guess what? I think the defense is about to get better. I think the defense has reinforcements coming. The defense is about to play their best football of the year. So the fact that we can now stop with the Russell Wilson MVP conversation, and maybe now this can become a team in every sense of the word and not just a one-man show with Russell Wilson. You know, we talked about this heading into Arizona, the game last Thursday, that the Seahawks coaching staff, I think, had totally lost confidence in everybody on their football team at the running back position. They did not trust anybody to carry the ball more than four or five times. And you saw what a difference Carlos Hyde made in that game last Thursday. Now you're getting Chris Carson back. Now you're going to be getting, hopefully, the next couple of weeks, Rashad Penny back on this football team.
Yes!
They have gone from a coaching staff that has zero confidence in anybody on their roster to feeling completely confident in any one of those three guys getting 20 carries a game. So now we get to see this football team play like a team and not a freaking one-man magic show.
Now, see, I'm also happy that the MVP talk has kind of slowed up a little bit, but I'm happy for that for a different reason, because you heard how much these guys were rallying around the Russ for MVP. I mean, DK Metcalf was ending every press conference, every interview with Russ for MVP.
Yes.
Now that suddenly Patrick Mahomes has taken the lead back, you don't think that they're all seeing that. They're all hearing that, and they think,
"Hey, maybe
hey, hold on a second."
Look, but
hold
he's not gonna win the MVP though with them running the ball down the stretch the way they want.
No.
That's the difference.
I'm just saying that I think that they're gonna ball out for this guy, saying, listen, if Russell deserves to be the MVP, and for some reason he's not being talked about anymore, let's do everything we can and
maybe
the players to do what we can for him.
I just think that they're just more of a complete team now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've got a pass rush. They're getting their secondary healthy. The linebackers are playing fine. Their offensive line, look, dude, they lose Ethan Posick, and they're basically on their third-string center in Damian Lewis, and he plays fine. Their running backs are getting healthier. Yeah, Greg Olsen got hurt, but I don't think that's a gigantic loss for them whatsoever. No. Their receivers are more than fine with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I got no issues with those guys. So I think that they've got maybe the best each position group has to offer right now as they head into the final six games of the regular season. I mean, last year, they kind of went the opposite way with their running backs. The running backs got hurt as the year went on. This year, their running backs got hurt early. They put them on the shelf, get them all healthy, and now they're bringing them all back for the final month and a half of the regular season. I would much prefer this over what happened a year ago, because I don't really care what Chris Carson does in the middle of September and October. I care what Chris Carson does in the last 2 weeks of December and in January and February. And they've got to find a way to get that guy healthy at the end of the year, because he is a total difference maker. And through all that, to be 7-3 and be a game out of the one seed and be tied for the NFC West lead, I think they're in a great spot. I really do. And look, you know, dude, I'll tell you what else. Jamal Adams has taken a lot of heat from a lot of people. I'm not saying it's unfair. I think Millen is dead on with some of his criticism of Jamal Adams. I expected more for two first-round draft picks. I expected a guy who is a difference maker on almost every single play that the defense has. But he's not going to play a snap with what was supposed to be this team's entire secondary. But can he play December with Shaquille Griffin, Quandre Diggs, and Quentin Dunbar? With Ugo Amadi at nickel and play some Marquise Blair? Can he play in the postseason with those guys? Can he get to the last week of the year with four of those five guys together, with him being the fourth guy? So I think if you can see that, and you can see a pass rush where now teams have to worry about Carlos Dunlap and Jamal Adams coming off the edge. I mean, if you're Arizona or the Rams or whoever you're playing in the postseason, and you see Carlos Dunlap on one side and you see Jamal Adams lurking behind him, and you got to make a decision on who you want to block, I mean, dude, to me, that's a potential difference maker. Carlos Dunlap plays the way he's played the past three games for the entire year. And that is going to be almost, in some ways, the acquisition of the year in the NFL. 413, Petros Papadakis will join us and explain why in the world he has a knife habit now. Scary. Coming up next, right here on 950 KJ. Hey,
it's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis. Brought to you by Hendrickus Organics. For a 100% organic lawn renovation, go to HendrickusOrganics.com. Now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Mahler.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Busy day continues right here on 950 KJR, courtesy of our friends at Hendrickus Organics. Looking for an all-natural fertilizer solution. Their winter program to get your lawn ready for the rain, the snow. Jump on the web, HendrickusOrganics.com, H-E-N-D-R-I-K-U-S, Organics.com. Here he is, a guy he was always ready for inclement weather. He's a mountain man, baby. He lives in the great outdoors. He's always ready for adversity. Our friend from the Petros and Money Show, FS1, Petros Papadakis. How are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
No, I cannot hear you. Petros, are you there?
Because I'm out in the wilderness. Like, I'm so used to being, you said, I'm a very outdoorsy type of guy. But, you know, there is truth to that, Softy. I moved, as you know, a few years back to a more of a wooded area. You were aware of this, yes?
Yeah.
Well, I moved to a more wooded area, and then the pandemic, and I started hiking more. Were you aware of this?
No, I was not aware of that. Good for you. Out there getting some exercise, getting the endorphins flowing. Good for you, man. I'm proud of you.
Well, and not only was I hiking more, but I started hiking more and moving around more outside, and I had a confrontation with a rattlesnake.
Okay.
Not funny.
How'd that go?
I ran hard, and because of that, and because I see all these things on Instagram, I purchased a knife that I walk with now, like one of the Jets or Sharks in West Side Story. And I have a hatchet that I purchased online as well that I have brought to work and threatened my radio partner with already on a couple occasions.
So wait a minute. You purchased a knife and a hatchet that you now carry with you at all times because of an encounter you had with a rattlesnake. Is that right?
Yeah, you were prophetic in nature when you said that I'm a man of the outdoors, because I'm not really a man of the outdoors, but I'm really a man who can buy outdoorsy stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
And walk around in my wooded area and act like I'm fighting nature, like the Robert Redford movie with the beard and the emoji and the whole thing.
A river runs through it?
No, the one where Grizzly Adams.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I did see, speaking of knives and hatchets, Petros, and we will talk some football in a matter of seconds. So just relax.
Whatever.
There. Yeah, just hold on. I did see you and your partner chucking throwing stars at a wall in your studio last week. How'd that go?
Well, I've really been enjoying the world of cutlery and sharp objects in the last couple months. It's kind of what the COVID thing has evolved to in my life, which is Chinese throwing stars, hatchets, and knives. And around Christmas, I'm thinking of buying a knife called a Saigon knife because I love Vietnam Christmas, like the song Straight to Hell by The Clash, if you're familiar with it. Yeah. There's nothing better than Vietnam Christmas. So I'm diving deep into cutlery. Maybe around this time next year, I'll be purchasing a rocket launcher. I mean, yeah. Who knows what this involvement will go to.
I was going to say, I'm getting a little concerned because all of this has to start somewhere. And, I mean, the genesis of this infatuation with cutlery now may have started with butter knives, for all we know. And now it's turning into hatchets and knives and throwing stars. Should we expect you to be carrying a machete by the new year now? Is that where this is going?
I would love a machete, and I'm in the market for one, but I don't want a cheap swap meet machete. You know, I really want something that'll really cut. But it's funny that you should say that, because the only reason this happened was I was on Instagram one night buying a pair of stretchy pants, and the website that had the pants also said, hey, you want a knife? And I didn't buy the knife right then, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I'm going to buy that knife. You know, I kept thinking about it. Like, you know, what will happen if I buy that knife and the knife shows up? What will my wife say? What will people say if I just start living the knife life? And I pulled the trigger one day, and I told everybody on the radio, and then everybody on the radio started sending me pictures of their various knives and the cutlery that they have.
Wow.
Butterfly knives, switchblades, all kinds of stuff. I'm starting to slowly morph into a knife guy or into a secret society of sharp objects. And I'm interested to see where it goes. Maybe a mace or a giant spear like Shaka Zulu. I mean, I'm ready.
I love it. Well, if anybody out there knows where Petros can get an authentic machete, hit us up. Hit him up on Twitter at the old P, and you guys can discuss it from there, because I don't want to be a part of this. All right, Petros Papadakis is with
us.
What
do you mean?
I just feel uncomfortable. I feel like if you actually purchased a machete from one of our listeners and something happened, that it could then be traced back to me and that my involvement would be bad for me, and I don't want to go down that
route. The best part of this is I have other than being a waiter my whole life and washing dishes, I have little to no experience with knives or cutting anything, including my own steak. I mean, I'm a real, real mess holding a knife. And I bring the knife to work and I cut all the copy with it, with the commercials, and I throw it against the walls and people are starting to get a little freaked out.
Oh, all right. Well, this is the conversation you have when
you know what I'm going to do?
Oh, God.
I'm going to get a crossbow.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. Why don't you get yourself a grenade while you're at it? Bring that to work.
Well,
you know what? Hell, just get yourself a tank. Get yourself a tank and drive to work in a tank.
I've had grenades for years. It's hard to get the explosive stuff you put in them.
What?
But you can... You can get grenades at any war surplus store. You can get dead grenades, all kinds of different ones.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. If you start like walking around wearing a gas mask, we're gonna have a problem. At that point in time, I may have to I'm out of here.
You know what? You keep pushing this conversation longer. I've owned a gas mask since I was a college football player. I've had an Israeli gas mask for years getting ready for the apocalypse.
What the hell's going on around here? It's like there's nothing going on. We got football. We got lots of stuff, serious stuff to talk about here on the radio show. No Apple Cup. Dogs are playing Utah. Just got done kicking Arizona's ass, and you're talking about machetes and grenades and knives and gas masks and rocket launchers.
Well, I do have that gas mask, and I'm in the market for some French goggles for no reason.
Oh, God. I think I just broke a rib.
Anyway,
wow.
I'll tell you, I was really impressed with the dogs. Of course, anybody who watched the game was.
Talk about your goggle infatuation.
Okay, well, there's this French brand called Vaillon or something, and the goggles look like you're kind of in a James Bond movie. They kind of got the French colors, the white, blue, and red on there, and it's on the strap, and it looks like you're kind of like an international man of mystery in a form-fitting sweater, and I don't know why I'd wear goggles. Well, you know, in college when I was playing football, I drove my Ford Explorer. Now I'm a Chevy man, but I drove my Ford Explorer with a helmet and goggles on pretty much all the time.
All right. Petros Papadakis, you were saying about Washington and their decisive victory over Arizona. I heard you were on Clay Travis's show, and Clay asked you about Oregon-USC, and you sidetracked him with your compliments about the Husky football team and their win over the Cats on Saturday. Good for you.
Well, I mean, the best team in the conference usually is the best defense in the conference. And that, to me, that's clearly Washington right now. They have the guys that have the tenure, that have proven it year in and year out. They have guys that they're developing. They have people that get after the quarterback. They have great people like McDuffie and Molden on the back end. I'm just really impressed watching them. I thought the quarterback grew from week one to week two, and the offense grew like they wanted to, kind of on schedule. I'm happy to see that they tried to go get BYU. I'm happy to see that they went and made the Utah game happen.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to the Jimmy Lake era. And seeing how this develops, I just love that defensive mentality, and I think it'll take the Dogs pretty far. They're going to need to develop on the edges, and guys like Bynum and Nacua are going to have to make big plays as the season goes on, but I really love the foundation that's been built.
All right, what's more intimidating, Elijah Molden or Elijah Molden carrying a machete?
Yeah, baby!
Well, you ever see that movie, The Last Boy Scout?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Halle Berry.
That's intimidating. Yeah. Well, that's a fine movie. Damon Wayans.
Great
but,
movie.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tackle a guy with a machete. Like, once you raise it up to chop him, he'd probably just run right by you.
Oh, God. I have no idea when this got off the rails. Petros Papadakis, courtesy of Hendrikas Organics. Hey, did you see all the crap that BYU was taking from people around the country this week?
Well, look, I love BYU football under Kalani Sitake. And I love BYU football, but they are really, really different. And they operate on their own level. They don't use the same PR standards that the rest of us in college football use. I mean, they make Notre Dame look like Fresno State, you know, as far as just being standard. I mean, they are very, very unique. They have their own TV station. They have their own XM radio channel. They have their own recruiting base internationally. They have the backing of an entire religion, much more so than Notre Dame or Boston College or anybody has the backing of the Vatican. You know, it is it's a different animal. And there's a reason they're not in a conference, because generally over the years they haven't played well with others, right? You would say that is kind of a euphemizing way to say it. I love Kalani Sitake. I believe he wants to play. I believe he wants to play Washington. I really do. But I think somewhere between Kalani and Tom Holmo and the powers that be in Provo, the thing got screwed up. But I think it was a little bit overdone as far as attacking BYU, who I think has had a great year and does deserve recognition. Mm. And at the least, that quarterback should be invited to New York Zach Wilson for the Heisman ceremony because he's really great.
Yeah, I disagree that it was overdone. I loved it. I loved all of it. I thought they stepped in it, and I thought they deserved every damn second of it.
Well, look, if you say we'll play you in the parking lot anytime, anywhere, any place,
yeah,
then that's pretty self-explanatory. And yeah, you leave the door wide open for people like you to attack a fine religious institution like Brigham Young University.
Hey, what's on the Greek Thanksgiving Day menu tomorrow? A little moussaka? A little souvlaki?
None of those things are served in my house. We do have a nice panakopita at my uncle's house, which is a Greek cuisine, but I won't be enjoying any of it because I will be calling Utah State hosting New Mexico. Somebody's going to win between two winless Mountain West teams. Happy Thanksgiving to interim coach Frank Miley and Danny Gonzalez.
Why is that game on Thanksgiving?
Why not?
Utah State, New Mexico?
Don't you want to watch some football when all the NFL's over? Because that's us.
You couldn't give us a better option. That's like serving cheeseburgers for Thanksgiving, which I would not be opposed to, by the way. But Utah State, New Mexico is the best we can do on Thanksgiving?
Get your cheeseburgers. We're going to have a hell of a game.
Oh, God. I guess. All right. Well, listen, man, enjoy it tomorrow. Friday, you've got Cal Stanford. Who do you like in that game, by the way? That's going to be Neuheisel's pick coming up at 5 o'clock. Cal Stanford. Cal's given 1.5. Handicap it for us.
Well, since I'm calling the game, I'm not allowed to pick it, and it would be very bad form to do so.
That's not a real thing, by the way, at all. You can absolutely pick the game. You can tell us who's going to win.
Well, it's real in that I've never done it before, and I'm not comfortable doing it. How about that?
Okay, well.
Is that real? Is that real enough for you, Softy?
If you don't want to do it, I mean, real? This is the guy that's comfortable walking around town with a machete and Chinese throwing stars in his pocket, but he won't pick a damn football game against the spread.
I have one star. It is singular, and I'm working on a machete. So your information is incorrect, A. B, I think it will be a fun game because Cal Stanford is always a fun game. We are going to do an exchange of the axe, if there is an exchange of the axe. And Cal's had about as much adversity as anybody's had with their contact tracing rules at Berkeley. They're having a tough time with their offensive and defensive lines, and that's been evident in both games. But I'm interested to see how they continue to develop with this West Coast offense they're putting in. And let's be honest, Stanford's defense is pretty used to facing up against that. That's what they play. So it could be a low-scoring game. How's that?
I like it. Take the under, says Petros Papadakis. All right.
I didn't say anything like that.
Take the under. Good luck this weekend with Utah State and New Mexico, and good luck in your quest to find a authentic machete. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll talk in a week.
I'm not talking about an authentic machete. I'm talking about just something a little less than thrown together.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. Petros would like a machete and a meat cleaver for Christmas.
I would like it somewhere between a swap meat level machete and a sword made by the guy in Kill Bill.
Done. All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Love you. We'll talk in a week. See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Washington fans.
All right. Coors Light text line is open for business. Anybody have an idea where Petros can get a machete? 49451. Textimonials, and then Rick Neuheisel, 5 o'clock right here on 950.
Get into a brand new Ford.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials. Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler.
You know, I'm starting to think there might be something seriously wrong with Petros Papadakis. Like when you see your buddy and he's, wearing nothing but a bed sheet, walking down the street, mumbling to himself, and you think to yourself, this is the beginning of the end for that guy. It's just all downhill. Today, November 25th at 4:30, in the afternoon may have been that day for Petros Papadakis. Just write this date down, all right? 49451, Coors Light text line brought to you by our friends at hammerandnail.build. What do you got?
Petros Papa Preppers is in rare form today. Think he blacks out and forgets he's on the radio?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a chance that Petros has no idea his name is even Petros. I think Petros calls this radio show to go on the air with us every Wednesday at 4:20 and has no idea why he's doing it or who he's talking to, of course. Now, look, man, if you took that many blows to the head at running back, you might have some screws loose, too. What's next?
Petros, you're gonna want something longer than a knife or hatchet against a rattlesnake, brother.
Oh, man.
They strike faster than you can swing that thing. Trust me.
Petros Papadakis starring in Crocodile Dundee Part 3. That's not a knife. That's a knife. I'm telling you, this is the day. This is the day the guy lost it. Look at his Twitter timeline. Yeah. Like you said, it's creepy. It's concerning what's happening to this kid. He mentioned it himself. 9 months of shutdown, and now he's collecting knives and cutlery and sharp objects? This is not normal behavior.
He's taking videos and pictures of himself walking down the street, holding up knives next to his face. There is something wrong with this man.
I don't think you got this in testimonial, so I'll just read it. 206, I'm worried about Petros. He lives in a secret lair in the woods and is collecting exotic weapons. Is he writing a manifesto? Yeah, him and the Unabomber, baby. All right, what's next?
I'm thankful for the ability to smell. My wife is cooking up a storm today and the house smells of pumpkin pie and candied yams.
Wow, that does smell good. My wife is the exact opposite when I come home. She's thankful that she can't smell a damn thing. All right, what's next?
I'm thankful for football. I'll even watch the Cougs. I'm thankful that home life ain't too bad.
Hey, listen, I'm with you. We're all lucky in some ways, but I am hoping that Jen Cohen and Pat Chun can get something on the books for the Apple Cup because I would very much like to end 2020 by kicking the Cougars' ass again.
They try to make it basketball on grass.
Just one more time. Just one more time. What's next?
Thankful for the stock market kicking ass.
Yes, 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 yes. A lot of folks out there, though, I got to tell you, man, a lot of people out there don't have a lot to invest in the stock market these days. There's no question about that. So I feel kind of weird and kind of creepy boasting about the stock market because I don't know if everybody is taking advantage of that. I'm not sure if everybody is benefiting from that, but I get it. Hey, man, making money is always good. What's next?
Thankful for Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hallmark Christmas movies, like from the 80s or from the 70s? See, I'm more of a claymation guy. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, really? Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty the Snowman. You know what? Somebody has a great idea. I have my idea of the retro restaurant food court. I think somebody out there should start making claymation movies all over again for a brand new generation of fans like you.
I don't think that that's a very good idea because there's only better movies now and better content now that we've gotten longer in the filmmaking
process. You don't
think
it's a good idea because you don't understand the greatness of claymation. Oh, yeah. That's fine. What's next?
Thankful for Gonzaga versus Kansas at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Wow, and I'll be thankful when the Jayhawks kick their ass tomorrow morning at 10:30 in the morning. That's no way that's
that was actually
happen.
From Dick. Sorry, I had
is
to
your partner
that.
A Husky fan or a Zags fan?
What does Mike Florio think of Carson Wentz? He's a genuine but whole. A bye bye ba.
Abba 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 abba. You guys are a couple of butt holes.
Please tell me this is not the game on Monday night where Carson Wentz finds himself. Like, we're talking about Petros losing himself on today's show. Is Monday the night where Carson Wentz finds himself? No, not going to happen. The guy stinks. You can't lose to Carson Wentz, who in five of his past six games can't even complete 6 out of 10 passes. Get out of here. Good.
Cornbread stuffing with sausage is the best.
Well, you know what? I saw that comment earlier. I'll just say this. I think anything with cornbread, anything with stuffing, anything with sausage is pretty much a winner. So you can't go wrong there. 3 for 3, pal. What's next?
Why are Dick's tweets more like stats are for losers?
Stats are for losers.
What does he mean? Dick's tweets are like stats are for losers?
Apparently, Dick's Twitter has a lot of tweets that are just based on statistics.
Because what Dick does...
Stats are for losers.
...is he tweets out all this stuff and then gauges the reaction and then uses that to help him decide what he puts on the air on Friday at 5:45. I don't give a crap what people think. You know me.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if people want to only hear what they want to hear, why don't you wake up every morning, call me, tell me what I should tweet, tell me what I should say, and I'll just go ahead and tweet that. But listen, from a Dick's perspective, it works. Never gets any crap from anybody. I'm the one taking the heat all day long. We got time for more?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If these Pac-12 schools have to shut things down, do they still get full shares of the Pac-12 money distributed by the conference?
They're fat, dumb, and happy, and entitled.
I believe the answer is yes. I believe everybody is getting equal shares, but that's a great question. We can ask Jen Cohen on the show on Saturday when she jumps on about 6:05 or so before the game with Utah. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody should split this equally. I mean, dude, if you're going to let, you know, California and Oregon State and Colorado take a share of Washington's Rose Bowl pie, why wouldn't you do the same thing this year? Absolutely. One more text. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Softy. Hmm. Anytime anyone on KJR mentions anything Mariners, yeah, I have to say the sarcastic, yeah.
I'm sorry about that. We're trying here on 950 KJR to get behind that baseball team, but they just make things so damn difficult. You know, look, honestly, what's going to happen first? The Kraken win a Stanley Cup championship, the Sonics return, or the Mariners in the World Series? Answer that question at 49451. Rick Neuheisel, by the way, will join the radio show.